Greet you in Jesus' name. It's been good for me to be with you, and so we look into the to worship God and look into the life of Gideon. Think about what God has done in the past, who God is. Try to learn about what is real life and what is the real purposes in life. We sang this morning, "Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it." Do you feel that? Prone to wonder? Yes, that's something we're all facing, isn't it? I think we all can identify with that. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Yes, we feel that. Proneness to wonder. This morning, the title of my message is, "I Have Kept the Faith, Our Fight Against Apostasy." And I want to think about apostasy. I don't know that I like that word so much, but that's the word I'm using, our fight against apostasy. And as I think of that, I have to ask myself the question, what would Brother Richard say this morning if he could talk to us about apostasy or about life? What would he say? Maybe we should have that question in our mind. What's Richard experiencing? And how am I going to attain to that which he attained to? The reason I'm asking this question or looking at this subject, I've kept the faith or fight against apostasy, is because recently when the question was asked, "Can we prevent apostasy?" I answered it, and I said, "Yes, we can." Well, they completely ignored my answer, which I guess is okay. And someone else said, "No, we can't." And they said, "Yes, that's the right answer." And I was like, "What do you know?" And I didn't really just accept that easily, okay? And while I would say there is truth in that answer, no, you can't prevent apostasy, I would say there's some truth there. It's not the answer I like. I do not believe God designed the church to be helpless victims to the cycles of apostasy. I don't think that that's how God designed it. And that I do not believe that if I have been a faithful steward and a faithful follower of God, that I must expect that my great-grandchildren will not be. I don't think that's how God intended it. And I don't think that's how God's plan is. And there's going to be apostasy. I know there will be. But I don't think that we just have to accept that cycle and say, "I can't do anything about it." Now, I'm not suggesting that the other answer that was given meant we can't do anything about it. But anyway, it did get me stirred. I believe God's design for the church is to continue strong and resilient against the forces to draw it away from God. I recognize in my own heart and in the heart of each one of us the latent ability to turn away from God. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. While that is true, God has also given us everything we need to remain faithful to Him. And so, yes, we are individuals of choice. That is very true. But God has given us everything we need to be faithful to Him in Philippians 4, verse 19. "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." That verse is leaning toward the material aspect of life, but He certainly will supply all our spiritual needs. He certainly will do that. There in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, "There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it." He says, I'm going to monitor the temptations, and they're not going to be too strong for you, and there's always going to be a way to escape. I will always make a way of escape. You're not in a trap where you have to fall. Then in Jude 1, verse 24 and 25, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. And so there we have it. He is able to keep you from falling. He is able to present just you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty forever and ever. Amen. Majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen. May he receive the glory as we follow, and he is able to keep us from falling. And truly, truly, we need to lean on him. We must lean on him. We are not sufficient for this task, and yet as we do our part, he will keep us from falling, and we can be presented faithful and faithfully into his arms. So these verses, I believe, clearly establish that God, for his part, has done everything so that we as individuals do not need to succumb to the pressures to depart from following the living God. We don't need to succumb to those things. We can depart, but we do not need to depart. The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foes, is what we sang. And we need to believe that. If we lean upon him, he will not desert us to his foes. He will be with us on this journey. So if you could ask, what is apostasy? The dictionary I looked at said, an act of refusing to continue to follow, obey, or recognize a religious faith. An act of refusing to continue to follow, obey, or recognize a religious faith, or abandonment of a previous loyalty. When I think of apostasy, I think of those things, but I think of it in a little different way. Because I think of apostasy, my definition, as I think of apostasy, is a gradual departure from faithfully following God. I think of it as a gradual thing, apostasy. I'm sure you can certainly turn from God suddenly and quickly. But as I think of in my head, the apostasy is picturing a gradual departure from faithfully following after God. In the book of Judges, the children of Israel went from revival to following God, revival and following God to worshiping Ashtaroth and Balaam. How did this happen? I suspect it was largely a gradual accommodation to Balaam worship. Where in that many small steps process did they cross from being a follower of the living God to a worshiper of Balaam? Where in that process did that happen? That small steps down through, and after a while, as a nation, they were worshiping Balaam. And God was angry with them. I don't know where in that small step process they departed from serving God, and they became a follower of Balaam. But God knows. He knows distinctly where that line was crossed, including it was crossed because he was angry with them, because they rejected him, and they were worshiping Baal now, and he punished them by allowing their neighbors to oppress them until they cried out to him again and said, God, I need you, I need you. There's a lot could be said on this subject. I'm not going to say near all can be said. But here in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, gives what I believe is a good definition of apostasy. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith. There is depart from the faith. What I picture as apostasy And again, there in 2 Timothy 4, verse 10, I think we have a good definition of it where it says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." And Demas was useful to Paul, but then he no longer was helping Paul, and he forsook Paul, and he loved the present world, and he was out the back in those old things again that he had been in previously. I don't know Demas's life, but he forsook God, and he loved this present world. It was a forsaking of loyalty to God to a love for the world. The eternal results of this apostasy, which we are very familiar with, are hugely consequential. This apostasy that we've all seen it. Sometimes very close to us, but it's hugely consequential. Yet often it appears deceptively benign, just, you know, not that much change, not much difference, not that much different, now a little more different, now not much different, you know. But the consequences are huge in the eternal outcome. And so let's not be complacent about apostasy. Okay. Must we succumb to generational apostasy? How can we prevent apostasy? How can we remain faithful to God generation after generation after generation? And that is, I guess, kind of what I'm trying to focus on. May not be very good at keeping it focused, but what I'm trying to focus on. How can we be faithful to God generation after generation after generation? The Bible gives a lot of warnings about apostasy. They're found all through the scriptures. When I think of Deuteronomy, I think of God, of Moses talking to the children of Israel, and a lot of it was simply like, I'm telling you right now, when you get over there, this is what you need to do so you don't fail God. That's a lot of what his message was, against apostasy. Judges, of course, which we're looking at right now, seems to be set up, designed. The whole book seems to be designed to warn us about apostasy. Then there's Jude, the letter to the apostates. And it talks about the apostates. And 2 Peter 2 and on and on and on. You have 1st and 2nd Corinthians, where Paul is correcting departure from the faith, right? That's what he's doing. He's correcting and correcting and correcting and correcting. So we find it warnings about apostasy all through the scriptures. And of course, you could probably mention every book in the Bible when it comes to that. As far as causes of apostasy, I'm going to just run over some causes here very quickly, because we want to get to the next section. But causes of apostasy, forgetfulness. Bible mentions forgetfulness. The Bible talks about a lack of diligence is a cause of apostasy, or just being casual about it. Bible mentions failing to keep his commandments. As Moses again and again and again, many of the writers in Scripture, they talk about the need to keep his commandments. Causes of apostasy, lacking the Christian graces, of course, it would be apostasy. Loving the world is a reason for apostasy, like the Israelites. We want to love God, but does that mean we need to take such an anti-world stance? Can we somehow have both? Really? Must I be anti-Baal? Must I be that way? Well, if you're going to love God, you need to be. Must I be anti-world? Yes. You need to be God-focused in what you do. And that's hard for me to grasp. You know, God wants us to be home. No, he wants us to be focused on him, focused on his ways. He wants our focus. And it needs to be, he wants that our focus on him to define everything we do. And that's difficult for me, for us. Yeah, but he wants us to be focused on God. You need to be focused, God-focused in what you say, your words. You need to be God-focused in what you wear, distinctly God-focused in what you wear. Definitely not world-focused. You need to be focused in what you sing. You need to be focused in the in what you listen to, your music. You're like, excuse me, God, I like the devil's music. It's not really a problem to you, is it? Oh, yes, it is. If you like the devil's music, it's a problem to God. You need to be God-focused on what you watch. Movies are not okay. They're not produced by... I don't even need to explain why movies are not okay. You need to be God-focused in purity. That's a major thing to God. You need to be focused in what you drive. What I drive? I mean, I'm just driving. Yeah, your drive. What you drive. Your car. Your truck. You know, they out there. You know, they want that loud, high, new, decorated with every accessory, the lights on and all that. Why is all of that? Anyway, that's what they do. And you're looking like, that looks pretty nice, doesn't it? Oh, yeah. Who is that? Yes, God wants us to be God-focused and not world focused. In Joshua's day, they wanted to serve the Lord and also be worldly. And Joshua said, you can't do both. He said it very clearly. In Joshua 24, verse 18 and 19, the Lord drave out from before us, this is the people talking, and the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. We're going to also serve God. Of course, we're going to also serve God. Then Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins, because he is a jealous God. And he wants all your focus. He wants all my focus. And he deserves all my focus. And he should have all my focus. And I should be wanting to please him. And I should not be looking at his enemy and saying, he's kind of nice, the world I'm talking about. We shouldn't be doing that. It's easy to do that. I know it is. But I want to look at how to prevent apostasy. That's what I want to spend most of our time on. Now, how to prevent apostasy? You're going to have to care about it, or you won't prevent it. If you don't, you're like, apostasy, a little here, a little there, doesn't matter. Well, you're not gonna escape it. You're gonna experience it. And is that a problem? Who could understand that? Anyway, how to prevent apostasy? You're going to have to care about it, or you won't prevent it. You're going to have to give diligence about the subject. That's what did Peter say? In 2 Peter 2, verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. You know, you need to give diligence, and Moses and encourage them to give diligence, and the Hebrew writer encourages us to give diligence. You know, we need to give diligence to these things. You're going to need to care about apostasy, departing from the faith. You've got to care about it if you're going to in any way overcome it. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews 4, verse 2, 1 and 2 says, let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. What? Yes, he said, let us therefore fear. You have received a promise of entering in his rest, the glories of heaven, the goodness of heaven. Yeah, I want to experience that. We have received that promise. But he says, you better fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into that rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith by them that heard it. And here he said that the word of faith was preached to the children of Israel, and it did not profit them. It was not mixed with faith. They heard it, and they all died in the wilderness. They didn't make it to the promised land. That being the case, we should fear. We should be concerned about apostasy, what he was saying, departing from the faith. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1 through 5. He says, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And they did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But unto many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. So they got to experience, they got to experience going through the sea, and they got to experience that manna from heaven and that water from the rock and the blessedness of that. They were experiencing the blessing of God and the goodness of God, but God was not well pleased with them. And they were overthrown in the wilderness because they apostatized. They lost. They let go of their faith, and God was angry with them and destroyed them there in the wilderness. So Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant about what happened to them, because I don't want it to happen to you. You can open your Bibles to Psalm 78. I'm going to read the first 8 verses. How to prevent apostasy. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which ye have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works which he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. And here is the psalm writer, and he's saying, I want you to listen, I want to tell you about how you can be faithful to the Lord. You need to declare this to your children, so they can declare it to their children, so they can declare it to their children, so that their children will set their hope on God and follow after God, generation after generation after generation after generation. This is how. That's what we want to experience as well in our families, in our churches, generation after generation after generation. In verse 4, he says, God is wonderful. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. And that is one thing we need to understand. that God is wonderful. Well, the praises of the Lord, his strength, his wonderful works that he's done, we need to exalt in that. We need to. We need to be, and I believe all of us are, we're confident that God is good, God is great. We have one other God, we don't want Baal. In verse 5, he says, pre-established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our father that they should make them known unto their children. He said, and so God gave us this law. He gave us this testimony, which he commanded our fathers that they should command their children so that they could command their children so that they would be faithful to God. God's laws, God's commandments, God's rules are wonderful, so keep them. And then in verse 7, he says, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And so I want to just use that as a starting point, a launching out point on how to prevent apostasy. The first one I have here is to set their hope in God. We need to set our hope in God if we're going to prevent apostasy. We ourselves need to love God. We ourselves need to be amazed and enthralled by having God as our God. We need to love his ways. We need to love his kingdom. That's what we need to do. We need to, that they might set their hope in God. What did Moses tell the children of Israel? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Love him. Love him. God and his ways are good. That's one. Number two. How to prevent apostasy? Not forget the works of God. Remember the past. You know, this is something we need to do as well. In Deuteronomy 8, verse 11 through 20, we need to intentionally remember the past and what God has done for us. Intentionally to remember the past and what God has done for us. Moses told the children of Israel, don't forget, don't forget, don't forget. Remember, remember, remember. Beware. Deuteronomy 8, verse 11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgment and his statutes that I command you this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks are multiplied, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, that thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget. Okay. That can easily happen to us, right? We're aware of it, right? Yes, we are. We're aware of it. Therefore, we need to set up boundaries. We need to set up markers. We need to set up remembrances occasions so that we don't forget. So we need to do we can do this in a number of ways where we can set up remembrances occasions, but we need to keep his God set up like communion, a special time to remember what Jesus did for us so that we stay anchored in our love for Christ. We have a baptism coming up where we remember that when we came to God and that forgiveness and that cleansing and that lifting of that guilt and that reconciliation to God and the joy and the peace. So we remember where we come from and what God has done for us, the mighty works of God. We come to church like here this morning. So we remember, we go to prayer meetings, so we remember. What did the Hebrew writer say there in Hebrews 10? Verse 20, 22 through 25, He said, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and bodies washed with pure water. Remember? Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling yourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. And there he is. He gives us some very direct advice. He says, as you see the day approaching, you need to continue to assemble together, even more so than in the past. Because you don't want to forget God and what he's done. So yes, do not forget the works of God. Remember the past. Number three, how do we prevent apostasy? Number three, to keep his commandments. We need to keep his commandments. I'm going to turn to a number of passages here in Deuteronomy 4. Verse 1 through 3. This is Moses, and he's talking to the children of Israel, and he wants to go across over into the land of Canaan, and he wants to talk to them. He wants to give them direction there, but he can't. And so he's doing his best over on the other side. And in Deuteronomy 4, verse 1 through, well, we'll start reading here. Now therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in to possess the land which the Lord your God, the Lord God of your fathers, giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor, and for all the men that followed Baal-peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them by this. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this is a great nation. This great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there that so great, who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord your God is in all things that we call upon him for? Or what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as this law which I set before thee this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thine heart all the days of thy life, to teach them unto thy sons and to thy sons' sons. And there in that last verse, read this passage, he says, don't forget the laws of God. Keep the laws of God. And lest they depart from the heart, thy heart, all the days of thy life, but teach them unto thy sons and unto thy sons' sons. That is what they should do. Keep the commandments of the Lord and teach them unto their sons and unto their sons' sons to preserve them. Yes, in Deuteronomy 11, let me read a few verses here, 18 through 21. Wherefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that ye may be as they may as promised to be in your eyes, and ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates. All right, now here it is. That your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. so that you remember these laws. It says that your days may be multiplied and the days of your children. That's what we want. We want our days to be multiplied and the days of our children. And he says here, remember to keep the laws that God gave to us. In Deuteronomy 4, back in Deuteronomy 4, verse 37 through 40. Notice what he says here. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them and brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt, to drive out the nations from before thee greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance as it is this day. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath, there is none like him. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his judgments, which I command thee this day. And see what he says here? That it may be well with thee and with thy children after thee, that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. There it is. That's what we're looking for. That it may be well with thee and with thy children after thee, that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth. That is what we're looking for. And what does he say we should do? We should keep the commandments of the Lord. What we need to do, we need to keep the commandments of the Lord, that it may be well with us. We need to be rooted and grounded in that. I'll just read just two more verses here in relation to this thought. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 1 and 2. Now these are the commandments, his statutes, and the judgments the Lord your God commandeth to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither thou goest to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy sons after you, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Here he says, yeah, thou and thy son and thy son's son, a continuation, generation after generation after generation, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. That generation after generation after generation, you are living in the land that God has given you, and all is well. By avoiding, that's how they avoid the apostasy, by keeping the commandments of the Lord. Proverbs, more on this thought, Proverbs 3, verse 1 and 2. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall be added unto thee. That is what we're looking for. And of course, Jesus calls us to keep his commandments. And if we're his friends, if we do whatsoever I've commanded you, and of course we know that not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. He that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Okay, let's move on. How to prevent apostasy. Have the Christian graces. Have the Christian graces in our life. And this comes out of this passage here in 2 Peter 1, where verse 5 through 10. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he is purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. And there it is. If you do these things, you shall never fall. Where we add to our faith those Christian graces. That needs to be something that we incorporate into how we live, so that we do not fall. Adding these beautiful graces into our life. And of course, we need to add these beautiful graces into our life if we're going to pass on the faith to our children. And when they see these graces in our life, they will be attracted to God because of what they see in our life. When we have nobility of character and knowledge of the Word of God and self-control and endurance going through suffering and being faithful to the Lord and godliness, a godlike character, righteousness in our life, and love for the brethren and charity, where we are over and over and above ready to sacrifice of ourselves to do good to others. That is so beautiful. And when our children can see that the character of God is alive in our lives, and pass it on, and they can embrace it. If you do these things, you shall never fall. The next one I want to mention is love not the world. There in Deuteronomy 20, verse 16 through 18. I'm going to read these verses. It says, "But of the cities of these people, which the Lord your God doth give thee for an inheritance, thou shalt save alive nothing that breatheth." Going over to Canaan, and on those cities you would save nothing that breatheth. "But thou shalt utterly destroy them, namely the Hittites and Amorites and Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that they teach you not to do after all their abomination which they have done unto their gods. So should ye sin against the Lord your God." He said, I don't want you to become like them. I want you to make sure, be kind neighbors, but don't get influenced by it. No, that's not what he said. I want you to go in there, and he said, I want you to destroy them so that there's nothing that breatheth left. I don't want them to turn your heart away from God. That's how. Don't love those ways. Don't open up a door to let them influence you away from God. But they didn't do it, did they? They let them there and they're like, I'm going to be smart. I'm going to make them work for me. And I'm going to put them under tribute and life's going to be easier for me. And they're going to be oppressed and it's going to all be great. And they left the world there. And the world captured them again and again and again. Now, we don't need the world for a heart that's prone to wonder. That's for sure. But we don't need any more influence for the world either than what is already in our own hearts. And so in 1 John 2, verse 15 through 17, the Apostle John says very, very, very just blatantly says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What? Is it that bad? If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lusts of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. He that doeth the will of God is supposed to be focused on pleasing God, and supposed to be focused on wanting, how does God want me to live? How does God want me to think? What does God want me to do? That's what I'm supposed to be focused on. Not, whoa, look at that. Yeah, no, don't. What did Paul say there in Romans 13, verse 14? But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Don't make provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Don't make provision so that you can become like the world. Don't make any provision for it. Cut it all off. Deny it. Don't, because we're prone to wonder. Lord, I feel it. We're prone to wonder. That's why, yeah, no TV, no radio, no alcohol, all those things. Now, we know salvation is not through merely keeping the decrees. We know that. And certainly apostasy is the only thing that we have to guard against. We have dead formalism to guard against as well. But we think about apostasy this morning. And so, love not the world. Don't love it. The next one I have is don't despise authority. This comes up in Jude. This comes up in 2 Peter. Don't despise authority. And this is an anchor point for us, all of us. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, Ephesians 6, verse 1 through 3, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with this promise. What? That it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. There it is. How to avoid apostasy. That it may be well with thee, and that generation after generation, you will live long on the earth. You will be an abiding and an enduring godly presence. It says, obey your parents. Is it that simple? It is profoundly that simple. Obey your parents. Learn to respect your parents. Learn to respect authority. Don't buck up against it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When you get to be 70 years old and you go to Bible school and you see all these young people ambitious to serve the Lord and all that, they have their things that they need to grow up in, and you can see them too, even though you might not try to. They're pretty obvious. And you're thinking, well, yeah, I'm glad they're ambitious for the Lord and all of that. That's wonderful and that's great, but I'm not going to say deal with that knowledge. I'm going to get close to that, though. But they don't know as much as older people do. They just don't. I'm not trying to offend you. You're intelligent. You're smart. You're godly. You're reading the scriptures. You're studying and all that. You're spiritual. And that's wonderful and all good. But you don't know as much as older people do. You just don't. And so God says, remember, obey your parents. He says, obey them that have the rule over you. Honor the authorities. Honor your authorities. What is one of his primary things that he wants to protect us? Proverbs 4 verse 10. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Oh yes, there. Here's the dad telling his son, you listen to what I have to say, and the years of your life will be many. You'll have a posterity that will go on and on. And here is Jude talking about the act of the apostates. He says, likewise, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, they despise authority, and they speak evil of those in authority. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. What in the world? Here was Michael the archangel, and he's talking to the devil, and he didn't even call him down. He said, I'll let the Lord rebuke you, because he's saying, yeah, the acts of the apostates is they despise authority. They speak evil of those in authority. Anyway, part of the ways of the apostates. We don't want to have part of it. The last one I have is read the Bible every day. Deuteronomy 17, verse 18 through 20. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law and a book out of that which is before the priest, the Levite, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord, and that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all his words and his of this law and these statutes, to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left. All right, to the end, that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. See, there it is. There's the continuation there. He said, I want the king to write out the law and to read it every day. That he and his posterity may be faithful to the Lord. apostasy avoided, apostasy prevented by the reading of the scriptures every day. Well, we could think about the Rechabites in Jeremiah 35. They were faithful for hundreds of years to their recap. And God commended them for that. They did not apostatize. But they were more concerned about being faithful than about Christian liberties. So they were more, they wouldn't have had to do all those things. God didn't demand that they do all those things. They were more concerned about being faithful than about enjoying every little liberty that they could possibly enjoy here because they wanted to get to heaven. So they were faithful many generations. You think of the Anabaptists 500 years ago that stood their ground. And I'm not here to glorify the Anabaptists, but they did. But they did give a groundwork and framework that has endured for many years. And that has endured for many years. And I know there were ups and downs and many, many trials between here and there, but here we are. And we appreciate what they've done. I don't believe we and the generations after us need to succumb to apostasy. God has given us the armor to overcome. I'm going to read this strange verse here in Deuteronomy 22, verse 6 and 7. It says this, and it's the very last part of this verse that has my attention. If a bird's nest chanced to be before thee in the way of any tree, or on the ground, whether they be young ones or eggs, and the dam sitting upon the young or upon the eggs, thou shalt not take the dam with the young. But thou shalt in any wise let the dam go and take the young to thee. And then God says this, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days. What? That it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days. Does God care for oxen? Does God care for birds in this context? No. No, it's not that he cares for birds. This is perhaps the least of the commandments. He doesn't say that it may be well with the bird. No, he doesn't say that. He says that it may be well with thee. He's concerned about thee, me. That's what he's concerned about when he gives this commandment. He's not so much concerned about the bird. That it may be well with thee, and that that you may prolong your days upon the earth. So, don't be cruel to anybody, even to a bird. Be tenderhearted to anyone, even to a bird. That it may go well with you, and you may live long. And you may live for the Lord generation after generation after generation. It starts with small. Like haircuts. Yep, starts with small things like haircuts, coverings, jewelry, trucks, music, movies, and pornography, and speech, and wedding practices, and courtship practices, and Christmas practices, and Halloween, and vaping, and fairs and rodeos and sports events, and it could go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Yeah, it's all around us. It's calling us. And we don't want to go there. The world is everywhere. I don't want to give my loyalty to the world. I want to give God my loyalty. I want my loyalty to be with Him. Therefore, we fight the world in our houses, in our streets, in our churches, in our hearts, everywhere. We fight against the world. We fight against that apostasy. Yes, we set our hope in God. We remember what God has done for us in the past. We keep his commandments. We put on the Christian graces. We don't love the world. We respect authorities. We read the scriptures. And there's more that could be said. But we make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Can apostasy be prevented? Yes, it can. Brethren, help me with this noble effort. Lead me on in the straight and narrow way. Lead me on to the realms of endless day. Let's do it for prayer.